Hello. You are listening to the Grieving Parents Sharing Hope podcast. We are here to walk with parents on their unwanted journey of child loss, guiding them to a place of hope, light, and purpose, not in spite of their child's death, but as a way to honor his or her life. And now, here is your host, author, speaker, and bereaved parent, Laura Deal.
Hi, thank you for joining me today. Since you are here, it's probably because somewhere beneath your grief, there is a flicker of hope. It might just be a teeny tiny flicker. It might be very fragile, but it is real. And today we are exploring a beautiful way to nurture that flicker into something steady, something that is life-giving. Before we go any further, I want to play something for you that I recorded a while back. The first lesson in here, we started out by talking about our physical breakdown and some of the things that we can do to help with that. And the last three lessons, we've been looking at our soul, which includes our emotions and our thoughts. In this lesson, we will be specifically talking about our mental breakdown, and then we'll be moving on to the third part of our being, which are our spirits. If you're like me, the mental breakdowns are so frustrating. The confusion, the fogginess, not being able to concentrate, and major forgetfulness, as in forgetting how to do a simple task you've done most of your life. I've often asked myself, why am I like this? Sometimes I'm just fine, and other times I'm so easily agitated, or I'm in a fog, or I'm just plain a mess. And the answer? Because I'm a parent who's lost a child. It makes me unpredictable, and I don't like being that way. It makes me feel like I come across as very unstable. But in reality, that is now part of who I am. And I will always be capable at any moment of returning to being that fragile, broken person. Even simple little things are so difficult on us mentally, especially those first couple of years. One time I drove home from the grocery store and I forgot to take my groceries with me. I could forget how to do something as simple as peeling an orange. I'd be driving in my car and pull the car off the road almost terrified because I suddenly couldn't remember why I was in the car and where I was supposed to be going. Or I remember crying, wandering around in a parking lot looking for my car, not even having any information in my brain to help me remember the area I parked in, like which door I went in. There was nothing there to even help me remember where in this parking lot my car was. And these things really scared me. And I started wondering if I was having an onset of early Alzheimer's. It took me quite a while to find out that that was actually a normal part of intense grief. And what was happening with me physically and mentally during the worst of my grieving period, those first couple of years, seemed so much greater than my strength to get through it. And before I go any further, let me say that even though the first few years are brutal in this area, it does get better. If you notice, most of what I've shared is in the past tense. The times between the breakdowns get longer and they don't last as long. I know those first couple of years, I felt like that would never happen. I just wanted the pain to end, and I couldn't understand why it was taking so long. It doesn't help that those around us don't realize what a mess our minds are legitimately in. People telling us, "I know how you feel," can cause all kinds of fireworks to go off inside of us. Any kind of family event can send us into a tailspin that no one around us understands. And they try to fix us or say things that make no sense or even decide that they're through with us. Even an answer to the simple question, "How are you?" sends us into an immediate in-depth examination that is exhausting. Because first of all, are you asking about this exact moment, "How are you?" or as a whole? Because this can cause me to have two completely different answers. Or are you asking because you really want to know? Or is it more of a greeting because you don't know what else to say and you really expect a quick answer of fine, that I'm fine, so you can move on? Are you just a clerk at the store who's using it more of a greeting? And I really shouldn't unload on you in sarcasm and pain, no matter how I'm feeling at the moment. Are you a safe person to give a truthful answer to? And at this point, after going through all the options in my head, I usually determine it's easiest on both me and the one asking to give that generic pat answer, so they probably won't get the truth and you'll hear me say I'm fine or I'm good. And there are so many triggers that add to the mix of what's happening mentally with us. I recently had a newly bereaved parent tell me that just looking at the titles of our podcasts can send her into a meltdown. I have been quite surprised to discover that men are actually more vocal about having grief meltdowns than almost any other subject about the death of their child. And the way my husband Dave explains it is that most men put everything in mental boxes, and they pull out one box at a time, and when they're done, they put that box away, and then they get out a different box. But there are times that they find that their grief has shattered into all of their boxes. So they pull out a work box and all of a sudden grief is shattered in there. They pull out a different box and the grief is there. And they don't know what to do with it or how to make it stop because that's not normal. Everything is usually in their box. And they can't just sweep up all the pieces and put it in their grief box. Just put it neatly on the shelf, only taking it down when they want to. But some of them do try really hard to do it anyway. And like I said, for some reason, this is an area that men will open up about, maybe not to their wives, but to other bereavers when the subject is brought up. As a matter of fact, today I just saw something on a Facebook post that a dad posted about they understand that the mom's grief is different and we carried our child and, you know, it's different, but the dad's grief is so very valid and they struggle too. So it is interesting that men can be very vocal about this, at least when they're with other grieving parents. And this is a good place to remind you that experts say 5 years and under is considered fresh grief for a parent. So if you are still in those first 5 years, there is nothing wrong with you and you are okay if you're not getting past it yet. Also, the death of a child is considered traumatic grief, and many parents have PTSD based on the circumstances around the death, so it really is okay not to be okay. And those of us who are ahead of you on this road expect it. Don't let those around you who have never faced the death of their own child to heap guilt on you or make you feel like something is wrong with you in the way that you're missing your child and still grieving deeply. But I also want to say to be careful not to use your child's death as an excuse to play a victim card down the road. We're usually quite aware when we've turned that corner. Others may tell you that's what you're doing. I was told by someone close to me that I needed to just move on when I was just starting to pull out of that suffocating darkness at around 2 years. There is a difference between grief and self-pity. And you're the only one who knows which one it is. You're the only one who can determine when you are starting to turn that corner where it's not just grief that is on you, but self-pity that you want people to feel sorry for you or to feel sorry for yourself. I read something that made a lot of sense to me, and I'm not sure if these are the exact words, but it said that an abnormal reaction to an abnormal circumstance is normal. So don't be overly concerned about how you're responding to something abnormal and is considered traumatic grief. Studies have shown that deep grief literally affects a person's brain. In a very real sense, the mental and the emotional energy of grief saps the brain power and leaves a person very disoriented and unable to hold a thought for very long. This has been studied out. After several years, I have to be honest and say I still don't have a clear mind like I did before, and it can be very frustrating at times. Friends have tried to encourage me by saying things like, oh, I forget things too, but it isn't the same as just like getting forgetful with age. Like I said, it's like there's nothing in your brain to even draw information from, like when I was driving down the road and I would forget where I was going and I would just panic. It's like, I can't drive. I don't know where I'm supposed to go. So I'd pull off the road. That's so different than just having moments of forgetfulness that we all have normally. This is beyond that. We have been through a traumatic event, and our minds just freeze, forgetting how to function at times, especially with certain dates and times of the year that trigger our grief, causing us to feel it again, foggy and easily confused. I have learned to keep giving it to God, and I don't allow myself to be stressed out about it. At least I try. I'm not always successful, but I do. I just try to give it to God and not stress myself out about another thing. So, is there anything we can do to fight this or at least its effects on us? Well, at some point when you're ready and strong enough emotionally and mentally, you are going to have to fight to change how you think. For example, I can believe things like, I'll never get past this or I will always feel this way, which is only true because that's what you think or believe. But you can change that by starting to think about how I don't want to stay in this place and there has to be a way out and I'm going to find it. Those were the thoughts that I had that helped me get out of that really bad place of darkness at the beginning. And it's important to realize that believing a lie is just as powerful as believing the truth. The truth is you can come out of this darkness. There is a way out. But if you tell yourself you'll never get out of this and you'll always feel this way, then you're choosing to believe the lie at that point. I know some parents even believe they don't want to get past this, which is usually because they equate the pain of grieving their child with remembering their child. They're afraid that if they quit hurting so much that they'll forget their child, which is impossible to do. If you believe that staying in your pain will keep the memory of your child alive, then you'll continue to choose that emotional state of despair and not be able to live a life of peace and hope and fullness that includes walking out your God-ordained destiny. And yes, you still have one. I was an international children's minister before Becca died, and my ministry changed drastically. But the calling on my life didn't, which is to encourage and equip the body of Christ. And that's what I do now. It's just a totally different audience that God has given me. If you're wondering how to change those thoughts and beliefs, I have a couple of suggestions for you. First of all, stay connected with other bereavers who have learned how to live again after the death of their child. It's easy to find those who will say that life will forever be black and not worth living again, but that doesn't help you at all. That may be their life right now, but it doesn't have to be yours. You need to connect with those who can be the light and hope for you as they walk with you until your own hope starts taking root and growing inside of you, no matter how long that takes. Some of you may be struggling, wondering if it is even right for you to go on with your own life after your child has died. And let me release you from that thought right now. Yes, it is okay to go on with your life without your child in it. When my kids were younger, if they saw me sick or worried, maybe even crying, they would come up to me in their sweetness and their innocence and try to make me feel better. They didn't like to see their mommy hurt in any way. I'm guessing you have experienced the same thing, and I'm pretty sure that our kids still feel the same way. I know we would much rather it had been us who left this earth, but it wasn't. So here's my question. Are you honoring your child by allowing your grief to cause your own emotional death? Or would you rather honor your child by living a life that he or she could point out proudly and say, "That's my mom, that's my dad"? I release you and I give you permission to learn how to live a full life again. And I believe your child does too. It won't look the same, but you can still live a meaningful life here on earth until it is your turn to go. The second way to change your thoughts or beliefs after the death of your child is to let your mind be transformed, totally changed and renewed. Our thinking has to be reprogrammed because what you focus on is what will grow. So if you continue to focus on the pain and the loss, it will grow until it is ready to consume you and overtake you, swallowing you up in its dark abyss. But if instead you begin to think about and focus on truth, which probably goes against how you feel, you can actually get to the place where you can celebrate your child's life instead of being stuck in the pain of their death. And I've heard so many parents say, "That may be true for you, but I don't think it will be for me." And they have come to me later, acknowledging that they have come out of that darkness and they're learning how to live again. So maybe you can make a list of verses that can be an anchor for you. And I'll tell you, the meaning of scripture, there are so many verses that have a different meaning to me now than they ever did before. And verses that I've never seen in the Bible that are suddenly there. So ask God to give you some verses that can be an anchor for you. Write down sayings you hear or read in one place to be able to read them, reminding yourself of truth. Remember to turn on that playlist that you've been putting together that you started in session 3, hopefully, allowing the music to remind you of what is true. I personally started speaking over myself 1 Corinthians 2:16, "I have the mind of Christ," and 2 Timothy 1:7, "I have a sound mind." I do believe that speaking those things over me on a fairly regular basis, I do believe it helped the fog begin to clear, and I did become less scattered and forgetful in those early years. As I close this lesson, I want to share with you one of my specific thoughts that had to be reprogrammed. I couldn't even imagine being 2 years out or 5 years or 10 years further away from Becca. I mean, just the thought of that, it was like this panic attack would come over me, almost like I couldn't breathe thinking about how is it even possible to be here on this earth that long from Becca. And I asked God to help me by giving me His thoughts on this. And I found myself realizing that the truth is actually something totally different from what was in my thoughts. What God showed me was that every day I live on this earth doesn't get me further away from Becca, but it actually brings me closer to her because I get closer to my own departure date. So every day I'm getting closer to her, not further away from her. And that truth set me free. I still have moments when I have those thoughts and they can still make me cry, but I am not overwhelmed by them like I was before, because I now believe a truth that is deeper than my pain, that I'm getting closer to her, not further away from her. I truly hope and pray that this session has helped you to believe that maybe, just maybe, it's possible to get out of the darkness and learn how to live in the light again. I would like to think that your thought is, I know that Laura did it, others have done it, and maybe there's hope that I can do it too. If you are wondering if this is part of some sort of course or workshop, yes, it is. It is something I put together with the help of a professor and one of her students from Baylor University, and I am thrilled to share with you this resource that has been put together from deep personal experience and compassion. And it's the Rebuilding Your Life After Child Loss workshops. Now, these aren't just courses. They are pathways for grieving parents to walk together out of darkness and back toward hope. What you heard was just one of a total of 34 sessions that are broken down into three different workshops. Let me tell you more about what these workshops are all about. They are built on the award-winning book, When Tragedy Strikes, Rebuilding Your Life with Hope and Healing After the Death of Your Child. Many grieving parents have read the book and then they wondered how to actually apply what they have read in their own life. And that's where the workshops come in. Each workshop comes with an ebook copy of the book, When Tragedy Strikes, and an invitation to a private Facebook community where we can connect, we can cry together, hope together, and heal together. It's especially helpful to be able to talk with other bereavers about things you're thinking about or questions you have, especially after a specific session that you have just listened to. Now, there are three self-study audio workshops. You do this at your own pace, and each workshop is designed for different points in your grief journey. Workshop one is, how do I even start to rebuild my life? In this foundational course, you'll begin the healing process with two powerful modules: laying the foundation, which is six sessions on forgiveness, which is so important, not just of others, but of yourself, of God, and even those you feel are unforgivable. And then there are six sessions called Taking Care of Yourself, which are addressing your spirit, soul, and body, guiding you toward nurturing each area with God's guidance and help. And you just listen to one of the sessions from that. Workshop two is Working Through the Darkness. When grief feels like a heavy, unending night, these modules can bring clarity and light that you need. One module is called The Difficult Ripple Effects. These are four sessions tackling how loss impacts relationships, identity, and perception. Then there is Your Changed Identity. These are four sessions asking, who am I now? And helping you reclaim meaning. And then the last module in this workshop is, how can I ever trust God again? These are four heartfelt sessions designed to gently rebuild your trust in God that may feel shattered right now. Workshop 3 is called Looking Toward My Future, and this course points towards a life with purpose again. The first module is I Don't Think I Can Ever Be Happy Again, and this has 4 sessions that acknowledge the ache while gently guiding you toward the possibility of joy. Then the other module is called Finding Meaning and Purpose in a Life Worth Living. These 4 sessions encourage new life-affirming purpose, not in spite of your loss, but because of the depth of love you have for your child whose life still matters. And then there's a free bonus module in this one that has 2 sessions that explore our grief through the lens of our core motivations and how it affects our grief. Now, if you choose the bundle of all 3 workshops, you also receive a special bonus, which is a monthly Zoom meeting with me and other parents who truly understand, and it's typically held on the 3rd Thursday evening of the month. And you will also get a free signed copy of When Tragedy Strikes sent to you in the mail. Now, I also want to make sure you know that these are not just something you listen to, but each session has a suggested action that will help you implement what was just shared, helping you not to just be a hearer, but a doer, moving you in the direction of healing so that you can start functioning again and continue to move forward so that eventually you are living a life of meaning and purpose again, not in spite of your child's death, but because of his or her life. There is also a link on each session to the private Facebook page where you can share your thoughts and actions on that specific session with others who are in the workshop with you. Even though these workshops have been available for quite a while, we have never really done a good job of letting bereavers know about them, and it just feels like it's the right time to, I guess I'll call it, relaunch these. Now, you all know that I give and give and give to the community of grieving parents. I have given of myself for over 11 years now. I am not someone who is out to make a bunch of money off of a person's grief, especially a parent's grief who's lost a child. Now, this is one of the extremely rare things that GPS Hope offers that does have a cost, but we have done our best to make it reasonable and affordable. The time I have put into writing and recording all these sessions, knowing they were put together with the oversight of a professor who teaches how to put courses like this together, and that 1 Timothy 5:18 says not to muzzle an ox while treading out the grain because a laborer is worthy of their wages. I feel like these are all valid reasons to ask those who want access to these sessions to pay a little bit of something for what they will be receiving. Now, right now, because we want to bless you for jumping in on this, for the next 2 weeks, there's going to be a discount so that each individual session is just over $1.50, plus some extra bonuses, and I'm so excited to be able to do this for you. So, for the next 2 weeks, Workshop 1, How Do I Even Start to Rebuild My Life, is only $30. Plus, it will come with a bonus of sponsoring a podcast in honor of your child the week of your choice. Now, this is normally with a $50 donation to help GPS Hope, but we want to gift this to you when you sign up for the workshop, How Do I Even Start to Rebuild My Life? Workshop 2, Working Through the Darkness, is reduced to only $32. Plus, it comes with the bonus of your choice of one of the monthly ebook editions of Reflections of Hope, Daily Readings for Bereaved Parents. Just let us know what month is a tough one for you that you need a bit of extra encouragement, and we will send it right out to you. Workshop 3, Looking Toward My Future, will only cost $28. Plus, it comes with the bonus of my newest book that is almost ready to be released called The Bible's Grieving Parents, Finding Comfort, Hope, and Faith from Their Stories. Now, I am super excited about this book because it looks at several parents in the Bible who have lost a child and what we can learn from them. Now, if you decide to go for all 3 workshops, the bundle of all 3 together is only $76. Plus, it comes with all 3 of the extra bonuses, sponsoring a podcast for your child, getting the book of your choice, Reflections of Hope, the month of your choice, and be the first ones to get the Bible's Grieving Parents. Now, just as a note, I decided to add all this together, and if you paid full price for the bundle and all the extra bonuses, it's well over $150. Plus, with the bundle, getting all three together, you still get the signed copy of When Tragedy Strikes sent to you, and you get the access to a monthly Zoom meeting with myself and a group of other parents who are walking toward a measure of healing. Now, these special prices and extra bonuses will only be through September 26th, which is actually a little bit longer than 2 weeks, but September 26th is a special day in our lives because that is the birthday of Becca's daughter. So that's the last day of the special is going to be. So where can you sign up for these? I'm glad you asked. Go to gpshope.org/WTS course. The WTS stands for When Tragedy Strikes, which is the book these sessions are based on. You can see what others have to say about it on this page, who have gone through these workshops, along with more details that will hopefully answer any questions you might have. And I will put a link to that in the show notes. It's gpshope.org/WTS course. Okay, let's get to this week's birthday segment. Brady Keith Herbert was born on September 7th and left us at age 30. Jacob Sorori was born on September 8th and left us at age 32. Emma Ho was born on September 9th and left us at age 10. Patrina Charlene Bostick was born on September 12th and left us at age 23. We celebrate the day, as always, when these children came into the world. We know it will always be a special day worth celebrating. If you would like to have your child's birthday announced the week of his or her birthday with the other listeners, I'd love to be able to do that for you. Just go to gpshope.org/birthdays, fill out the form, submit it, and we will add your child to the birthday segment the week of his or her birthday. And Dave will also send you an email to remind you to listen that week so you can hear your child's name. If you have been connected with GPS Hope for any length of time, you know my heart for you as a parent who has lost a child from this earth. You know that walking with other bereaved parents is a passion of mine that God has given me the grace for. You know that I consider it an honor to walk side by side with you on this unwanted journey. My friends, you have a choice right now with the opportunity to walk forward with a community that knows your pain but refuses to let you stay there. You can choose to take compassionate, guided steps to hope. These workshops, they're not a magic fix. They're just small, gentle steps toward healing. And if you're ready to take one step at a time together, GPS Hope is here for your next step. So visit gpshope.org/WTS course to explore the workshops and find out how to enroll. You don't have to walk this alone. You were never meant to. Whether it's the right time for you to join us in the workshops or not, I want to remind you to hold on. Pain eases. There is hope.